CJSF is diverse, independent, and yours. Underrepresented music, local voices, and real people. You keep CJSF independent.
Hello, Reverend Billy here. This is Earth Riot Radio in New York City at the Church of Stop Shopping. We're in a hell of a situation right now. On the one hand, these Trump gangsters parachuting down into our neighborhoods, down into our traumatized families. On the other hand, the Earth's fires and floods, quakes, droughts, multiplying every month. The sixth extinction is underway. Now, what's our way out of this? What's our deliverance? We're bored by all this. We've got tragedy fatigue. Am I right? Somebody give me an earth-a-luia.
Earth-a-luia.
We are searching for a constant American reinvention, and that's just a habit we have. We think there's a way out. When that tornado lifts us up into the air, we can just switch channels. Our eyes search the horizon, which seems to be screaming with pain. And then we ask ourselves, where is that gated community that the super rich promised us? And where are the pure products of America? Those great solid corporations with their lines of products that nostalgize the past and glamorize the future, all false, all just selling things. We're waiting to turn this storm, this fire, this disease and drought into harmless products, movies, books, video games, AI. You know, this battle is hard to sort out, isn't it? It's the game show of American identity. It's kind of impossible. Each of our 800 military bases around the world, each of our 1,000 bank branches around the world, each has its own superstorm now. And it will dawn on all those men and women working out there that the only nation state that we can trust is not the United States. It's the Earth. It's the Earth. Who could stand up to ice? Frogs and unicorns and leopards and giraffes and elephants and pigs. Ice was backed down by the ecosystem of you and I, loving nature. All right, let's look into this. Somebody give me an earth-a-luia.
I approach eco-psychology from the viewpoint of an environmental writer and speaker who discovered about 4 or 5 years ago that it was getting more and more difficult for me to address audiences about the environmental crisis. I take it to be the great moral and political issue of our times. But I found that I was essentially trying to scare them, or I was trying to shame them, on the assumption that if I scared them enough or I shamed them enough, I would change their behavior and make them good environmental citizens. But in fact, it doesn't. So I found myself asking, is there another approach that is affirmative, that appeals to the best in people, that appeals to essentially positive motivations, and which I can believe will change people? And I found that while this sounded like a question of public relations, it was actually a deep philosophical question. Because it amounts to asking, when we present people with the environmental crisis of our times, what is it we're calling upon in them to respond to that crisis? If it's nothing but a sense of grim duty based upon fear or shame, then it's almost as if we are saying nothing else binds people to the natural environment than that narrow range of emotions. But what if that's not true? What if there are stronger, more affirmative bonds, bonds of love and loyalty? What if we really are part of the natural world out of which we evolved, which mothered us into existence? In a sense, that was the beginning for me of eco-psychology, an attempt to find ecology within the context of human psychology, and in in turn to find human psychology within the context of ecology. It is, in my eyes, for example, a significant development that so many big industrial systems in the world are breaking down. They don't work. The collapse of the so-called second world, all the socialist economies, it seems to me, is already a manifestation that big systems are in big trouble. Now, that is usually reported as the bad news of the day, and you can find it filling the media. How much is going wrong with every kind of big system, market systems, communications, you know, transportation, financial systems, and so on and so on. But what if, from the planet's point of view, this is the good news? These are the systems that are ruining our planetary ecology. The prospect before us is to find graceful ways for those systems to break down, to get smaller, to decentralize, and to democratize, and to scale down to a livable human level.
Taking bird-like positions on the roof or on the hood of the car, their arms in wing-like gestures. Now, notable among the bird performers are the police, doing the Blue Jay Boogie, using their blue uniforms to mimic the jay. It should be noted that blue jays are aggressive birds, related to shrikes and crows, and they are known for their gang-like flocking. No arrests have been reported, however. The BQE continues its conversion to a strange interspecies biohighway.
Hello, welcome to News from the Natural World. I'm Savitri D. New research shows that hippos lived in Central Europe tens of thousands of years longer than previously thought. Ancient DNA and radiocarbon dating confirm they survived in Germany's Upper Rheingraben during a milder ice age phase. Closely related to modern African hippos, they shared the landscape with cold-adapted giants like woolly mammoths. The finding rewrites ice age history and suggests regional climates were far more diverse. Common dolphins in the North Atlantic are living significantly shorter lives, with female longevity dropping 7 years since the 1990s. Researchers found this decline by analyzing stranded dolphins, revealing a 2.4% drop in population growth linked to bycatch deaths and environmental pressures. The findings expose flaws in traditional counting methods and call for adaptive conservation measures, such as smarter fishing restrictions. For the first time, scientists have seen a subduction zone actively breaking apart beneath the Pacific Northwest near Vancouver Island. Seismic data shows the oceanic plate tearing into fragments, forming microplates in a slow step-by-step collapse. This process, once only theorized, explains mysterious fossil plates found elsewhere and offers new clues about earthquake risks. The dying subduction zone is revealing Earth's tectonic life cycle in real time. The breakup of a plate doesn't just stop motion, it reshapes the planet. As each fragment detaches, it can open slab windows where hot mantle material rises towards the surface, creating bursts of volcanic activity. Over time, new microplates form, old ones drift, and the boundaries shift again. In the mist-shrouded mountains of New Guinea, a Czech researcher has achieved a world first, capturing photos, video, and data of the elusive subalpine woolly rat, or Melamus istepantap. Once known only from museum specimens, this giant shaggy rodent has been rediscovered after 3 decades, revealing a hidden ecosystem of biodiversity. Melamus istepantap is an enormous nocturnal rodent, one of the largest in the world, and lives high in the cool, mist-covered forests and grasslands, about 3,700 meters above sea level. Its closest relative is the cloud rat from the Philippines, also an herbivore. The Trump administration has authorized expanded oil and gas drilling in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, drawing sharp criticism from environmental and conservation groups. This week, the Interior Secretary announced plans to open 1.56 million acres of the refuge's coastal plain for energy development. The area is a vital habitat for a wide range of wildlife, including polar bears, caribou, moose, whales, and seals. The Interior Department also revealed plans for an oil and gas lease sale in the National Petroleum Reserve in Alaska this winter, the first time since 2019. The move reverses President Joe Biden's 2024 decision to increase federal environmental protections across the 23 million acre reserve. Additionally, the department reissued key permits for the Ambler Road Project, a contentious proposal to construct a 211-mile gravel road through southwestern Alaska's Izembek National Wildlife Refuge. Conservationists warn that the road could threaten more than 200,000 migratory birds and other wildlife that rely on the refuge each year. The project has also sparked strong opposition from indigenous communities. At least 39 villages and 37 tribes in Alaska's interior have voiced concerns that the road would disrupt traditional hunting and fishing grounds essential to their way of life. The Trump administration is on track to cut 1 in 3 EPA staffers by the end of 2025, slashing the agency's ability to keep pollution out of air and water. Sargassum, a brown floating seaweed, has escaped the Sargasso Sea and exploded across the Atlantic, forming the massive Great Atlantic Sargassum Belt. Fueled by nutrient runoff, Amazon outflows, and climate events, these blooms now reshape ecosystems, economies, and coastlines on a staggering scale. Since its first appearance in 2011, this belt has formed nearly every year except 2013, and in May reached a new record biomass of 37.5 million tons. Sea levels are rising faster than at any time in 4,000 years, scientists report, with China's major coastal cities at particular risk. The rapid increase is driven by warming oceans and melting ice, while human activities like groundwater pumping make it worse. In some areas, the land itself is sinking faster than the ocean is rising. In 2024, nearly 1 million hectares of land in Ukraine were consumed by fire, more than double the total area burned across the entire European Union during the same period. A joint investigation by The Guardian and the Kyiv Independent, combining satellite imagery, monitoring data, and eyewitness accounts, links the widespread destruction of Ukraine's forests directly to the Russian invasion. The fires trace an arc along the front line, concentrated in eastern Ukraine, where much of the fighting has occurred. Unlike the vast, long-burning wildfires seen in Canada or Siberia, Ukraine's fires are smaller, more frequent, and typically low intensity, almost certainly sparked by explosions. Roughly one-third of the burned land in 2024 consisted of abandoned farmland transitioning into grassland or young forest. With hot, dry conditions turning the front line into a tinderbox, detonations often ignited blazes that could not be safely controlled due to the presence of landmines. In Donetsk alone, tree cover loss from fire was more than 40 times the long-term average. Years of conflict, forest degradation, and extreme heat have primed these landscapes to burn. National park workers and firefighters in Ukraine say the flames are not the only threat. As they attempt to douse them, they say they are being targeted by Russian drones. Videos posted by Russian troops on social media show clearly marked fire trucks and personnel being attacked. Often these attacks follow a double tap pattern, with an initial explosion causing a fire, and the same site attacked a second time after rescue and fire crews arrive. Fungal networks may be a promising alternative to tiny metal devices used in processing and storing digital memories and other computer data, according to a new study. Mushrooms have long been recognized for their extreme resilience and unique properties. Their innate abilities make them perfect specimens for bioelectronics, an emerging field that for next-generation computing could help develop exciting new materials. As one example, researchers from The Ohio State University recently discovered that common edible fungi such as shiitake mushrooms can be grown and trained to act as organic memristors, a type of data processor that can remember past electrical states. Their findings showed that these shiitake-based devices not only demonstrated similar reproducible memory effects to semiconductor-based chips, but could also be used to create other types of low-cost, environmentally friendly, brain-inspired computing components. On Prince of Wales Island, Alaska, gray wolves are doing something unexpected, hunting sea otters. This surprising dietary shift appears to have notable implications for both ecosystems and wolf health, but little is known about how the predators are capturing marine prey. Now an endangered species, sea otters were abundant along the Pacific coast until the fur trade during colonial expansion into the West decimated their numbers. As sea otter populations recover, wolves appear to be reestablishing a predator-prey relationship that may have existed long ago. Wolves themselves are highly intelligent and elusive. They are notoriously difficult to study, and a team of 7 students analyzed more than 250,000 images of wolf and sea otter activity. And now, the sounds of extinction. 3 Arctic seal species have moved closer to extinction as rapid sea ice loss continues to erode their breeding and feeding grounds. According to the latest update of the IUCN Red List, the updated list uplists the hooded seal from vulnerable to the higher threat category of endangered, and the bearded seal and harp seal from least concern to near threatened. The major driver of these declines that we are seeing is breeding habitat deterioration as a direct result of climate change. Temperatures are rising about four times faster in the Arctic than elsewhere, and sea ice is thinning and melting earlier every year. This loss has undermined reproduction across multiple species. The retreating ice also makes it harder for seals to rest and feed, which compromises their overall health and survival. And hear the sound of Arctic seals.
Apocalypse of the forests. Right now, there is a broad forest mortality sweeping through Africa, Australia, Russia, the entire western United States, from British Columbia through the Rockies and Sierras to New Mexico. Whole mountain ranges are covered with dead trees. The forests are dying. All the known causes can be traced to climate change. Warming, drought, bark beetles, and wildfire. International teams of scientists are coming in with the first worldwide forest reviews. Dr. Craig Allen from the United States Geological Survey in Los Alamos gathered reports by 19 natural scientists who specialize in forest life of every kind. Savannas, conifers, Mediterranean woodlands, temperate evergreen and deciduous forests, and evergreen broadleaf tropical forests, every scientist reports general widespread mortality of their forests in the last 36 months. The forestry scientists feel the full gravity of what is happening. They know intimately about this global phenomenon of death. Talking with a tree scientist from New Mexico while researching this book, I hear a voice both sad and incredulous. She remembers the hard work of trying to wake up the public over clear-cut lumbering in the Pacific Northwest, especially of the redwoods. And she doubts the issue of all the forests dying can gain the public's attention. She talks candidly about the passing of the forests. There is no Save the Panda anymore. No sad, cuddly face that you can sell to the plastic-swiping middle classes of the Midwest. No noble wolf with the howling silhouette. Not anymore. The era of the dying species as media star is passing. Now it is whole ecosystems are disappearing. Countless species all at once. Now it is forests. Dying forests.
You're listening to CGSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
Hey, are you okay? It's okay not to be okay. That's why Kids Help Phone is available 24/7, 365 days a year across Canada. So you don't have to deal with your feelings alone. You can text with a trained volunteer crisis responder or call a professional counselor. Whatever works best for you. You can also connect with Kids Help Phone through trained interpreters in over 100 languages, and it's always free. Visit kidshelpphone.ca for more info and give your feelings.
Is